clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, except for the wind, it ain't going to be too shabby of a day out there. Looks like, man, it's 68 degrees all the way out there in the very west end of the Oklahoma Panhandle. 64 at Boise City, 52 at Slapout, 50 at Buffalo, 49 at Hollis, 41 at Hobart, 42 at Bessie, 43 at Cheyenne, Oklahoma, 44 at Shamrock, and 46 at Perryton, Texas. So, anyway, looks like it's, let's check out what the wind's doing around here right now. Cheyenne, 25 mile an hour wind right now with gust up to 34. Kind of looks like that's the hot spot for the wind, if there's such thing. 19 at Bessie with a gust up to 25. Putnam, home of B&L Red Angus, Benji and Lori White, 21 mile an hour winds there with 29 mile an hour gusts. I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for you for Texas Panhandle and northwestern and southwestern Oklahoma later on here in the show. Nothing crazy going on at the Clark Ranch. Got I caught a pair of a heifer and her baby. Her baby was prolapsed the day before yesterday. Wasn't prolapsed yesterday. Took it to the vet, and then the mama, both of them have pneumonia still. Had doctored them a few weeks back. Still got pneumonia, and it's under very good care at the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. How about that? Because you know what today is? Today is the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Cap Hour. So anyway, more about Stockman's coming up later in the show. Let's check out some grain prices real quick. Corn for March up nicely, 672. May is 671. July 664. Corn's at 620. Soybeans for January, 1487. March is 1494. May is $15 even. And July is 1503. Everything's up except for soybean meal. And cattle's kind of, live and feeder kind of even. Soybean meal, 452.70 for January, down 2.6. Short ton, 448.80, down 2.5. For March, May is 441.90, down 2 even. Soybean meal, or soybean oil, January 67.80. March is 66.51. May is 65.62. Hard red winter wheat, March $8.80. May is 8.73. Oats 3.71 for March, and May is 3.68. Cotton for March is at 85 cents, also at 85 cents for May. Sugar hasn't moved much. They must have heard that Sugar Baby over at Delhi is getting ready to harvest some. Live cattle for December, 156.80. February, 157.75. April's 161.87. June is 157.70. Feeder cattle for January. There's my January. 183.05. March is 185.67. Lean hogs for February, 90.62. April, 96.55. And May is 101.37. Report from Dr. Peel today. It's pretty clear that the total female slaughter in 2022 was over 51% of all the cattle that was slaughtered, and we've not been over 50% since 1986, Dr. Peel said. Clearly, we have pulled the cow herd down. We have pulled heifer numbers down, which limits our ability to regrow that herd. Should we get that opportunity to do so? At a minimum, Dr. Peel said that beef cow herd will drop 2.5%. This is the outlook for 2023. I really think it will probably be 3% or perhaps even a little bit over 3% for year-over-year decrease in the beef cow herd when the USDA gives us the numbers. The heifer side may be the most significant factor going forward, Dr. Peel said, because not many replacement heifers have been held back to rebuild herds. Even if we get the chance to stop liquidating, we are still in a drought right now, and we don't know what's going to change. Assuming that at some point drought conditions improve, we might try to think about rebuilding the herd. I don't think we have many replacement heifers to work with right now. In summary, Dr. Peel said beef production is going to drop significantly in 2023. If the drought conditions let us start to rebuild, that will actually make the supply drop even more dramatic, because in the short run, we are going to save a lot of heifers and we're going to cut cow culling. Dr. Peel said if the drought continues, then we will continue to see some level of culling, but it won't be as high as 2022 because we simply don't have as many animals. We've already culled a lot of them. The year 2022 is ending on a strong note, Dr. Peel said, with higher cattle prices. Those higher prices, Peel added, will likely continue into 2023. Producers will have, from a revenue standpoint, certainly more opportunities, says Dr. Peel. High cost of production, input costs, Dr. Peel said, are continuing through 2023, along with a possible continuation of drought issues. So take that for what it is. Dr. Peel's been pretty accurate since I started the show, and very knowledgeable guy. So anyway, I pay attention to a lot what he says, but there's only so many things we can do out here in the real world. Speaking of that, I had a dropout at the last minute. If anybody's needing any freezer beef locally produced by me, here in Western Oklahoma, I got a half a beef left. Either sell it 2/4 or a half. You can text me if you want to at 580-821-6646. They've been hanging about 6 days now. They'll be ready here in a couple weeks. Got a 15-day minimum hang weight on them, hang time on them. And it's the best beef west of the Mississippi. So if you're needing a quarter or half for your freezer, more than welcome to give me a call. There's plenty of us around here that raise beef, great beef, to be processed. And here locally, it was raised here locally, great stuff. And I don't know, we might have a little shortage of beef next year, so you might need to stock up, huh? Ask Dr. Peel, that's what he just said. Anyway, when I come back, I'll have some more information for you on some cattle. And also today is not only the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Cap Hour, it's also Heyday Tuesdays. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. On, but you shouldn't be. Put junk sleep to bed. During Mattress Firm's Dreamcember sale, save up to 60% with Sealy Queen mattresses starting at $279.99. Only at Mattress Firm.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Our company's called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35 micron filter. We run 10 micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10 micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
Filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemenscongress.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Stockman's Veterinarian Happy Cap Hour. We got so many things to talk about today, but first, why it's fresh on my mind here, I got my FSA update from Beckham County. And the election results came in, and I got that coming up for you. But this is just for some reminders, so don't blow their phone up. They just got back off the holiday, and I just want to let you know that there's only 13 days remaining to report your acreage for fall crops, small grains, and canola. Must be reported by January 17th. It's not that far off. This time is flying. Also, you need to update your base to either ARC, PLC contracts are due by March 15th. That's a little ways away, but if you already know what you're going to do, you might as well get that done. What else is there? ELAP reminders. If you turned in a notice of loss for us for hauling water or feed, we need you to turn in your documentation as soon as you can for processing. How about that? And then breaking out new ground. Before you put a plow in the ground, check with the FSA office first. By checking with the FSA first, you can verify the status of the field before breaking it out of crop production. Breaking out new ground without first completing a conservation plan of operations could jeopardize your farm program benefits. So anyway, they will be closed January 2nd for New Year's. They also will be closed January 16th, birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. And then 17th, again, is your acreage reporting deadline. And then, what does it say here? $46 per farm late file fee if reported after that day. How about that? And then your ARC PLC is going on. And then I meant to say this last week right before the storm hit, but you really do need to get your livestock records up to date. Winter is officially here. They have programs to help you with if you lose any livestock due to extreme weather conditions. But in order for them to help you, you must keep good records. Current inventory is very important, as well as timely date stamp pictures of deceased livestock. Our programs pay over normal mortality, so it is also important for you to document normal livestock deaths throughout the year. A good way to do this is to record your inventory by pasture on your calendar or in your notebook or planner, or like me, a oil field hand, I got me a tally book. And but to not only record your inventory, but also if you have new calves as well, as when you lose these animals. The results from Beckham County, Daryl Gamble of Eric was reelected to represent the local administrative area number 3. So congratulations, Daryl. And I think, here we go. I better hold off on that one. I better check with them. They probably don't want this phone lit up on that one. I learned a lesson last year, so I'm kind of gun-shy. So anyway, all right, so that's just a friendly reminder from the Beckham County one. I'm sure those deadlines on crop reporting and your ARC PLC is pretty well standard in all the counties. Got any questions, you don't have to stop by there. Just make a call and ask them if what I said is true, which I know it is. But anyway, just get all that done. Get it caught up. What else there to do, huh? Anyway, today is Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic. Happy Cap Hour. Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main in Elk City. I'm going to throw something in here on the deal. They keep that place. I mean, it's an older facility, and they've updated it, but that thing is 99.9% of the time is spotless. They do a great job of keeping everything clean in there. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccination, boarding with indoor outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-section and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And I appreciate you guys sponsoring Happy Cap Hour today. Anyway, let's see what's happening in the hay world. You want to? Let's check out some prices on it. Alfalfa. Looks like in California it's creeped up a little bit. Anyway, we'll just go through them. California premium alfalfa. We'll just do all premiums. California premium is $450 to $460, and that's not delivered. Colorado is $300 to $320. Iowa is $215 to $285. Kansas is $246 delivered to $375. Minnesota is $180 to $235. Missouri is $180 to $300. Montana is $250 to $270. Nebraska is $245 across the board for premium alfalfa. Oklahoma is anywhere from $275 to $380. Oregon's $425 a ton. Pennsylvania is $375. South Dakota, $240 to $300. Texas is $330 delivered to $450 delivered. Washington is $400 to $405. Hey, Wisconsin, nothing there. Wyoming is 265 to 350. On grass hay, here's just a few. There's not very many grass hay prices today on premium. Alabama's anywhere from 110 to 323. California's 310 a ton. Colorado's 295. This is all premium grass. Iowa's 160 to 245. Kansas is 140 to 225. Minnesota, 115 to 220. Missouri's 175. Montana, up there, Yellowstone, jacked the prices of hay up there. The show has. Montana's 360 a ton for grass hay. Pennsylvania's 260 to 420. South Dakota's 200 to 225. And Texas is 240 to 330. How about that? A lot of variances in these places. All right. So, will hay prices turn south in the coming year of 2023? At this time last year, the average price for alfalfa, all qualities, has broken through the 200 per ton barrier. In fact, that occurred in mid-2021. It was easy to wonder how much higher hay prices could actually go without buyer resistance. As it turned out, hay prices could go much higher. From January of 2022 to October, the average alfalfa price moved from $211 per ton to $281. The previous record average price was $227 per ton set in May of 2014. It was just blown out of the water. Some supreme and premium quality hay was selling for over $400 per ton for most of this year. For the second year in a row, there was no typical April-May price peak for alfalfa hay. The average U.S. price just kept climbing month after month, although moderation was eventually seen in some regions when 2022 production was above average. So what will shape the hay markets this coming year? Is there still room for price improvement? And I'm talking about upward price, not improvement, but movement. How about that? Let's change that word. I think that was a misspell. Even I caught that. Just as weather played out an important role in hay markets during 2022, the same will be true in 2023. Drought or excessive water will surely play a role in some regions, as will water availability in the West. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with that water situation out there at Lake Powell, Lake Mead, all those lakes along the Colorado River. It's getting ready to get serious, and they're getting ready to shut a bunch of farm ground down, and not good. I mean, there's some lakes that's got 3 years left on them, and if they don't do something now and stay in a drought, it's going to be quicker. So anyway, you might do a subject on that one of these days coming up. It's a pretty interesting read. Although weather can't be predicted long term, we can check in on those factors that we do know and evaluate how they might impact hay prices this coming year. December stocks is number one. USDA will report its December 1 hay stocks tally on January 12th. What we know is that May 1 stocks took a 7% dive earlier this year, and that followed a 12% drop the previous year. Last year's December 1 stocks were down 6% from 2020 and approached the record low level set in 2012. In their October crop production report, the USDA forecasted alfalfa and grass hay acres to be up in 2022 compared to 21. However, both yields and total production are expected to be lower, especially for hay acres other than alfalfa. Irrigation water or lack of limited hay production in some parts of the West, and strategies continue to be developed for Western growers to get the most hay production for limited water supplies. In some cases, water was cut off this year, and it doesn't look very good for 2023 unless they have some crazy snow in the Rockies and lots of rain places to fill it up. East of the Mississippi, there was both dry and wet periods throughout the growing season, but hay production was mostly adequate to meet livestock needs. Haylage inventories in the dairy regions of the Midwest and Northeast also appear to be good. December 1 stocks offer a good starting point on how well the market will be buffered by any negative production factors this coming year. Acres. In 2022, forecasted alfalfa production stands at 48.8 million tons, which is down only 1% from 21. Last year, October predicted production was below the final actual production reported in January. If the current USDA forecast holds, alfalfa stock shouldn't be much different than the previous year. Mostly because of the drought, some huge alfalfa production declines are estimated for the southern plains and some midwestern states. Missouri is expected to be down 40%. Colorado had a shortfall of 36%. Texas was off 26%. And Nebraska, Oklahoma, Nevada, and Kansas are expected to have lower alfalfa stocks going into next year. The situation is more dire for grass hay. The total U.S. production is expected to drop by 11%. Texas grass hay production is projected to fall over 45%. Oklahoma's hay production is down 33%. The USDA's annual crop production report on January 12th will offer a final number on those. I'm going to skip exports and the dairy outlook, but let's go on right down here to the U.S. beef herd. Actually, it's past my break time. When we come back, I'll pick up with the beef and grains and crop inputs, and then we'll carry on with the show.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Doug Gray Auto Group in Elk City and Sayre would like to thank everyone for making us number one. For the best deals on a new or pre-owned Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Ram, Jeep, Dodge, or Chrysler, nobody treats you better than Doug Gray. With convenient locations in Elk City and Sayre, for sales, parts, and award-winning service, we make it easy. Thanks again, and visit us online at DougGrayAutoGroup.com.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and the northeastern Texas Panhandle. I picked Freedom today, 49 currently. Wind chills 42. The winds are out of south-southwest, 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 23. Humidity's 35. Today, sunny, 57. Tomorrow is going to be breezy again with south winds stronger tomorrow than it is today. It's going to pick on up tonight. 68 for a high tomorrow. Thursday, 54 with south-southwest winds, about like they are today. Friday, 51. Saturday, 54 and partly sunny. It's just after tomorrow, it's just going to be partly cloudy. 54. In the lower 50s and a little bit breezy. And the wind don't look too bad for Friday and Saturday. So you might get a chance to get out there, get some of your fence building done, or just shut down the operation and go golfing. How about that? Anyway, also what I'm going to start doing here is, since I got this West Texas Mesonet deal set up, they don't have a long ranger forecast in here, but when I do northwestern Oklahoma, I'm going to pick a city up there where they got a Mesonet Center, and Lipscomb is the place I'm picking up today. For some of you that don't know where that is, that's in the kind of the northeast corner of the Texas Panhandle. Right now it's 60 degrees there. The humidity is 30%. Wind is out of the south, 27 miles an hour with gusts up to 32. Peak so far today is 35. What else we got here? Sub-freezing minutes today, 487 minutes. So it was pretty chilly there all weekend or all night. And 8-inch soil temperature is at 35 degrees. So anyway, looks like it's going to warm up here for the rest of the week. How about that? Okay, let's get back to the hay deal. How about that? Okay, the U.S. beef cow herd checked in at 30.4 million on July 1st of 2022, which was 750,000 head fewer. That's 2% than 1 year earlier. That decline, no doubt, escalated as drought conditions in the southern plains and the west persisted through much of the summer. Both beef cow and heifer slaughter numbers are higher than 1 year ago. Grains, corn and soybean prices remain at historically high levels. Along, look at the corn price today, it's almost back up to 670 a bushel. Along with other related byproduct feeds, this makes both energy and protein a more expensive feed ingredient and allows hay to compete favorably in a ration ingredient. Higher grain prices, if they hold, may continue to drive some existing hay acreage into commodity crops. There are more indications that grain prices may begin to moderate or decline. And I haven't seen what those indications are because they've been continuously just going up most of the year. Crop inputs for 2023. Overall, production inputs will look to remain high in 2023 for haymakers. That means higher costs for chemicals and fertilizers. Recently, fuel prices have come down, but it remains to be seen if that trend holds. Forage producers will have to demand higher prices simply just to cover their cost of production. But hay buyers have already danced to that song in 2022, so the shock factor this year might not be as bad. It's always difficult to know for sure if input costs are driven by the real market production factors or if manufacturers are simply after a piece of the higher farm gate prices for commodities. It seems that high input costs are always strongly correlated to high commodity prices. So what all does this mean for 2023? Many of the same factors that influence hay prices and 2022 will still be in the game during 2023. A case for steady to stronger hay prices in 23 can be found in shrinking acreage and production high beef and milk prices, a growing dairy herd, a healthy hay export market, high input costs, a lack of water availability in the West, strong grain prices, and an ever-present horse population. Offsetting these positive factors are a smaller number of beef cows, lower demand, and in some cases, lower profit margins in the livestock sector from higher input costs. One question remains to be answered. At what point do hay prices become so high that the demand falls and less expensive alternatives are sought? To some degree, we've already started seeing that there's some softening demand for both domestic and foreign hay customers. Standoffs are occurring between buyers and sellers. Recently, hay prices have started to level off and even decline in places such as the Midwest. The dairy producers are finding more profitable ration ingredients, and beef producers are simply setting limits on what they will pay for hay. Retail and horse markets will always be strong for the right kind of hay. What won't change in 2023 is that hay markets are strongly localized, and the supply-demand situation will vary from one region to the other. Another foundation hay market force is the high-quality forage brings a premium price, and high-yielding forage carries the best profit margin. Combine the two, and you nearly always finish with a healthy bottom line, regardless of the forces of the market. How about that? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I ain't no Einstein for sure. But alfalfa right now is just I feed both feed and alfalfa, and if deer hadn't destroyed my alfalfa field last 2 years, I'd have a lot more alfalfa out there. But alfalfa's high in protein, and I was doing just as good with it as I was a feed, $350, $400, $500 a ton feed, depends on what you got going on. I don't know. Doesn't look like nobody's in a very good win-win situation with either feed or alfalfa hay, and both of them are hard to come by. And as a couple of reports I've read over the last 3 months, there's less alfalfa acreage, especially in Oklahoma right now, than there ever has been in quite a while. And irrigation up in Kansas is going to hold back some of that, I think, because the state water board has been going around talking to these guys that are in that Ulagal water districts up there where they get most of their water, and they're going to start restricting them on water. They got to. They've been running out for years, and they've been trying to get them to do it, the farmers and ranchers up there, to do this voluntarily, and it's not working. And if you drive through the Texas Panhandle, you'll see a lot of pivots that hadn't moved in years. Nebraska, I think the Ulagal has actually come up a little bit, but that's where it starts up there. And who knows how long it took to fill the Ulagal back in the day. Nobody knows. There's no records. We don't even know when it was formed. But anyway, water's going to have a lot to do with hay this year. And hopefully this La Nina is showing signs of giving up so we can get back to feeding some, planting more alfalfa and growing more alfalfa. Other than that, guys are going to alternative crops. And we got a pivot down at Granite that was in alfalfa. And because of soil problems, we're doing corn and wheat. You know, there's 40 acres of alfalfa gone. I got 30 acres over there at my place gone. So I'm just one guy, and I got 70 acres less than I ever had. So, and then I know some other guys, my neighbors along the river, that aren't, if they're not high fence, they're not making any production, period. And so, anyway, all kinds of things going on here locally. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you for southwestern Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Somebody text in during the break here, 580-225-9697. Pick a town for me in southwestern Oklahoma or western central Oklahoma, and that's who we'll do the forecast on. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 19th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,487 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 381 brought 268. 12 at 524 brought 201. 4 at 570 brought 194. 3 at 602 brought 185. 31 at 730 brought 179. 4 at 771 brought 178. 52 at 820 brought 179. 3 head of heifers at 400 brought 177. 4 at 451 brought 180. 8 at 519 brought 163. 6 at 564 brought 174. 7 at 581 brought 168. 14 at 604 brought 176. 3 at 633 brought 172. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 95. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 900 to 1285. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 16th. 1,979 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 387 brought 258. 7 at 401 brought 224. 9 at 473 brought 210. 4 at 564 brought 182. 5 at 632 brought 176. 22 at 645 brought 180. 3 at 685 brought 164. 8 head of heifers at 389 brought 192. 13 at 476 brought 169. 3 at 528 brought 166. 5 at 610 brought 163.50. 8 at 615 brought 157. 4 at 704 brought 156. 5 at 983 brought 140. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 98. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 1100 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
High school juniors and seniors, do you want a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes? Western Equipment, a John Deere dealer in Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, is holding a Mechanical App 2 competition in Plainview, Texas on January 14th. Do you have common sense and know a thing or two about mechanics? If so, then this event is definitely for you. You can learn more about this event and register for it at west-equip.com/competition. Registration spots are limited, so grab your ag teacher, counselor, parent, or buddy, and we look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back to the Stock News Veterinary Clinic. Happy Cap Hour. Hey, I just seen something. I was looking through the texts on radio because Drew usually deletes them before he posts them or after he posts them. Anyway, here's your deal. I mean, I see a lot of people yelling about the high chicken egg prices. Here you go. Listen to this. I have 30 chickens that I need to get rid of. They will be free. Come and get as many as you need. Call or text for more information. And they're at Weatherford, 580-727-1164. If you need you some chickens, go get them. They're free. I don't know if they're laying hens or not, but hey, if they're not laying hens and you cook them up on the grill, you got my number here. Just call me. I'll come over and help you eat some barbecue chicken. Anyway, that's free. I mean, what else can you ask for? Anyway, all right. Nobody texted in where they wanted me to do their weather. So guess what? I was talking to the major from Cooperton. Let's get as close to Cooperton as we can. I think that might be Hobart or Medicine Park. Let's just go with Hobart. How about that? Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden, of course, long ranger forecast. 45 degrees currently at Hobart, 37 degrees wind chill. The winds are out of the south at 22 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 28, 40% humidity. Today, breezy. Tonight, breezy. Tomorrow, breezy. Tomorrow night, breezy. Temperatures today, 54, 69 for tomorrow. Thursday, mostly cloudy and 60. Friday, 56 degrees, and Saturday, 58, and partly sunny. So, anyway, after probably tomorrow night, Thursday night, the wind should start calming down. But she's going to be typical western Oklahoma and eastern Texas panhandle weather today, tonight, tomorrow. Wind's just blowing, drying stuff out. But it is warming up, and we'll see how that goes. All right. Where are we at here? Oh, let's do the Texas Mesonet. Let's do somebody out there. McLean. Let's do McLean real quick. 54 degrees at McLean, Texas. Humidity is 39. Dew point is 29. Winds are out of the south at 25. Gust up to 31. So far, their peak wind gust today has been 33. 8-inch soil temperature. They don't have any. Sub-freezing minutes today. 600 minutes. So what's that figure out to? 10 hours below freezing already. And the days, we're just now 1 o'clock. Anyway, there we go. There's that forecast for there. All right. Let's see what else we got to talk about. Oh, a couple pointers out to you real quick. High horsepower tracks are outselling four-wheel drives with tires. Can you believe that? I've seen a few of them on tracks around here, but not a whole lot. And I don't guess somebody's either going to have to call me or text me and tell me why there's not as many tracked vehicles, tractors around here as they are like in Kansas and Nebraska and in Dakotas and Illinois and Kentucky and all that, because you watch all those YouTube videos. There's a tractor in there somewhere, and even some of their combines are tracked now. But they are, interesting trend has developed with articulated four-wheel drive tractors based on available late model tractors at press time. High horsepower tracks are outselling the four-wheel drives with tires. Take note of the 2021 John Deere 9620 RX tractors featured in the Compline price guide they put in there with this deal. There were 44 RX versions of this model on dealer lots compared to just 14 of the rubber tire Model R's. The two versions of the Model 9570, 9520, and 9470 are equally split in availability. However, the trend shows a growing preference for track articulated four-wheel drives, whether they are green, red, or blue. Regardless of configuration, all brands of used four-wheel drives are in tight supply for late model 1 to 4 year olds or older. Farmers switched to buying used when they couldn't depend on availability of new machines coming from the manufacturers. At first, this resulted in a drought of late model units. The older four-wheel drives started to become the target of power-hungry buyers. Very tight supplies. Here's some ply deals just from the John Deere RX versions. There's only 44 in the United States available for 9620. The 9570 RX is 20. The 9520 RX is 13. And the 9470 RX, there's only 3. But here it is. Rubber tire four-wheel drive inventory is no better. 9620Rs. 14 available, 9570R, 23 available, 9520R, 31 available, and the 9470R, only 8 available. This supply situation places farmers in a position of being a very aggressive buyer. Sometimes there is a bit unusual and uncomfortable for farmers who prefer to kick the tires and dicker on prices. Imagine that. As soon as you see a machine that fits your needs, don't hesitate to buy it on the spot. You can try to strike a bargain on price with a dealer, but don't expect much give and prepare yourself to swallow hard when prices go crazy while you're bidding at an auction. And I've been watching some of those auctions. Holy cow, it's just crazy what's going on. Expect to pay significant transport charges to get the tractor home before next spring if you find something. The exception to this situation in Minnesota, nearly half of the dealer-held 9620 RX listed on the next page reside in that state. So that wouldn't be too bad to go get them. And they said the hottest spot for such tractors are in Minnesota right now. Semi-cost, oh my. You know, a used five-year-old Class 8 day cab that would have cost $30,000 to $35,000 towards the end of 2020 has skyrocketed to $70,000 to $80,000 now, doubled or more. If it were a highly sought truck brand such as Peterbilt, sale prices from $80,000 to $100,000 would not be anything very unusual. Over-the-road sleeper truck prices also went wild. A three-year-old Class 8 sleeper with typical mileage of around 400,000 miles would cost you around $165,000 to $175,000 last winter. Not only is that 80% more than normal, according to Chris Visor of J.D. Powers, but often the same value as a brand-new truck. This is a once-in-a-lifetime situation, semi-truck analysts all agree, is a result. Late model values are at historical highs. New prices, like farmers looking for the used vehicle market to meet their needs, freight haulers readily gobble up late model low mileage trucks, stripping the marketplace bare of the inventory. Next, facing a shortage of used trucks, transport companies started keeping their old trucks and repairing them for longer ownership. But last but not least, there's some good news emerging. However, the good news emerging is that in the current marketplace, used semi values started slumping here just a few months ago. Used trucks sold at auctions in the second quarter of 2022 are already 20% cheaper than those sold during the first quarter. Rob Slavin for Ritchie Brothers says he expects semi-truck prices to continue to slide slowly at first, with no major drops in value occurring until maybe 2024 or 2025. So I guess if you didn't get a truck this year, be either prepared to pay a lot or don't get one. For that to happen, manufacturers need to get the necessary supplies and key components to meet the new demand. After that, the used marketplace will begin to restock its inventory, which will weigh down used values. In the meantime, late model used trucks and certain high-level older semis are going to bring premium prices at auction or dealer date. Whoo! Anyway, dude, I seen a slick 4955 John Deere tractor down here south of Elk on Highway 6 at that auction place on the west side of the road. I had to pull in there this morning. It caught my eye sitting next to a red combine. And that tractor is slick. If you're in Elk City ever, coming in right past the golf course, keep looking on the west side of the road there and you'll see that John Deere tractor. The duals are on there. The weights are on there. The thing looks slick. It had 4726 marked on the window. I don't know if that's the hours or what, but it looked like he had been taken very well care of and it was front wheel assist. So anyway, FYI, if somebody's looking. Batteries and many late model combines, tractors, sprayers, and self-propelled machines equipped with GPS and other gee-whiz electronic technology often go dead while the machines are in storage. Some of their batteries lose power over a month or two. Others go dead in less than a week. Equipment manufacturers offer varying explanations and sometimes denials, but the bottom line is that various computers on those machines remain active even when the machine key switches off. In other words, it's still watching you. How about that? Aftermarket controllers and computers connected directly to the battery or to battery direct terminal in a fuse panel are another culprit. They happily consume the electricity even though the control switch is off. Many manufacturers now incorporate battery disconnect switches, aka kill switches, in their main wiring harnesses to completely disconnect the machine's batteries during storage. Heavy-duty kill switches can be added to older machines for less than $100. Simply disconnecting the main ground cable at the battery accomplishes the same result, but takes a little more work. You may have to reset the digital clock on the machine's counter post after totally disconnecting battery power during storage, but that's easier and cheaper than replacing the batteries. And, man, I don't know if anybody's bought any batteries lately, but they are expensive. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, I guess all these new electric cars and trucks are eating it up. I want to know if anybody out there is looking for an electric tractor. I want to come out and ride and do an interview with that person. Be really cool. Anyway, you guys have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. And thanks again, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, for sponsoring the Happy Cap Hour today. We'll be back tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.